This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios. High atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods, still fighting the allergies. It is full-on allergy season here at Squirrel Manor. And we are suffering through it. We were noticing driving to church yesterday that hay season has also begun, which is adding to it. We've had a really wet spring, and these last couple of days have been warm and sunny, and so people are taking advantage, and we're getting a very late first cutting of hay, simply because they want to get it down, dried, and baled before rain returns. Although, as far as I can tell, there isn't any rain in the forecast. We're looking at hot and dry here these next few weeks, which is apropos for the first couple of weeks of July. This is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about, like hay fever and haying season and all of these things. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on Twitter, Facebook, and Rumble. And then the podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Yes, the recorder is running. Just forgot to punch that button a couple of times last week, and so we did not have audio editions of the podcast. I've hopefully rectified that. Trying to get back into the groove after my 2 weeks away at camp, but things seem to be settling down all right. My coffee cup's almost empty. I'm going to have to refill that. All right. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. Head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. You can check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. More are being added. Got some exciting news about a show that's coming on that has sought to be included in the Christian Podcast Community. Longtime show that is now coming over to our stable, and that's exciting. And when that's official, I'll let you know. But it's when I got the email saying they were seeking membership, it excited me. Sorry, I'm going to be leaning on the cough button a lot today. I've got the sniffles. I've been taking some antihistamine at night to help me sleep, but I don't like to take it during the day because I want to stay awake. So that's where that is. So I will be leaning on the cough button. All right, what do we got coming up today? It is Monday, the third day of July, the day before Independence Day, which we will be celebrating tomorrow. There will be an Independence Day version or Independence Day episode of Squirrel Chatter. Stay tuned for that. We will be here in the morning, so look forward to that. And let's see. So we got today prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. And it's Monday, so we've got Monday meanderings. I probably will not go very long today, just the voice, the throat, the sniffles. None of it is very fun. Excuse me while I refill my coffee from my Yeti thermos. I've never had a thermos. Even my old Stanley stainless steel work thermos from the 80s didn't keep coffee as warm as this Yeti does. I love it. Unfortunately, though, it's the big wide mouth that's designed to drink from, and it does not make the best pouring thermos. But, boy, it keeps stuff hot. No, Squirrel Chatter is not sponsored by Yeti. They're, as far as I can tell, still a very liberal company that probably wouldn't like an endorsement from some radical Bible-believing Christian. So we'll just leave that there. But they make a good product. All right. Let us begin, as is our practice, with the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now our reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Today's devotional is entitled, Jesus Christ is Superior to the Ceremonial Law. Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Matthew 5:17. That sound you hear is indeed Fiona the Mouse drinking water from her water bottle. You can't see her. You can see the water bottle, but her home, there she is. There she's sticking her face out and looks to be going back to bed. Dr. MacArthur writes, the ceremonial law governed the form of Israel's worship. When Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled that law as well as the judicial sacrifice. Punctuation, Gene. Let me begin again. The ceremonial law governed the form of Israel's worship. When Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled that law as well as the judicial. Sacrifice was the heart of all Old Testament worship, and as the perfect sacrifice, Jesus brought all the other sacrifices to an end. While he was on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, Matthew 27:51. Christ himself became the new and perfect way into the Holy of Holies, into which any man could come by faith. In this way, the Levitical priestly sacrificial system ended. Though the temple was not destroyed until AD 70, every offering made on its altar after Jesus died was needless. Symbolically, they had no more significance. Of course, the tabernacle and the temple sacrifices were offered even before Christ's death, never had any power to cleanse from sin. They were only pictures of the Messiah Savior's work of cleansing, pictures that pointed to a supreme manifestation of God's mercy and grace. The ceremonial law ended because it was fulfilled. Since the reality had come, the pictures and symbols had no more place or purpose. From Genesis 1:1 through Malachi 4:6, the Old Testament is Jesus Christ. It is inspired by Christ, it points to Christ, and it is fulfilled by Christ. Ask yourself, what does the magnificence of God's story stir in you as you consider it again? The signs and fulfillments created by God's design before the foundation of the world and forged through long centuries of human history. Sit at his feet today in awe-filled worship. And that is John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. All right, Monday meanderings. Well, at the end of last week, the Supreme Court dropped some bombshells. And I want to talk about that a little bit. First, let's talk about it in general. It was a year ago that this court overturned Roe v. Wade. Very important legislation. Very important decision. It's not legislation, it's a judicial decision. Wrong branch of the government to be legislative, although the left has long sought to implement their agenda through court action. And this court, which has a conservative majority right now, has been undoing much of what previous liberal courts have done, including ending Roe v. Wade a year ago. Well, that last week of June is always when these decisions are dropped. The Supreme Court begins its session in October, and they hear cases, then they deliberate over those cases, and then they drop the decisions usually in June. Some earlier, but that's the general pattern. And so June, the end of June, is always when these major decisions are handed down. So a year ago, they overturned Roe v. Wade. This last week, there were some important cases decided. One was a religious liberty case where they decided in favor of a Christian man who worked for the Postal Service who did not want to work on Sundays. And of course, up until just recently, that was not an issue because the post office wasn't open on Sundays. But since the U.S. Postal Service made a deal with Amazon to do deliveries on Sunday, all of a sudden postal workers were required to work on Sundays. Now, they don't deliver mail to your mailboxes, but they still sort and deliver Amazon packages on Sundays. And so that was an issue. So he had asked for a religious exemption to working on Sundays, and it had been denied because of the fact that it would have caused a hardship for the Postal Service. Well, the Supreme Court sided with the employee against the Postal Service and said, no, you know, you have to make reasonable accommodation. And that's a good religious liberties case. This goes along with, I believe it was last year that the high school football coach was vindicated. He had been terminated because he was leading prayers on the 50-yard line after football games. They were not required. It was, you know, he was doing it in his personal capacity. And some people got upset with that, and he got fired from his coaching position. And so last year, the Supreme Court upheld his right to pray. Now they're upholding the reasonable accommodation. So this was an important religious liberties case. It's we're yet to see how it's going to shake out and what the importance is going to be going forward, but it's a good thing. Then they upheld free speech. There was a web designer in Colorado who had refused to design a website or work on a website. I'm not sure the details, but I think it was a wedding planner website or wedding venue website, and they wanted stuff about hosting gay weddings. I think I've got that right. Just going off my memory of what I read last week. And she refused because she would not promote something that countered her Christian faith. And Colorado, which has had some very draconian laws regarding things like this, forcing businesses to do things like that they had no interest in doing, and taking several people to court. So I think the baker was in Colorado, wasn't he, that's been dragged into the courts so many times? But anyway, they ended up, you know, this case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court decided on her side. And everybody's saying this is a religious liberties case. It wasn't. It was argued on First Amendment free speech issues. And as a web designer, she would have been writing content for the web page. And she refused to write something that was contra her own beliefs. And so this was, you cannot compel speech. And so this is going to be an important ruling going down. You cannot force someone to say something they don't believe. This has a lot of implications that are going to be shaken out, especially I'm thinking about Michigan's new hate crime law that just passed. They just passed a law making it a felony, punishable by fine and or imprisonment, to misgender someone. So if I was to refer to Richard Levine as he, or Dylan Mulvaney as he, which I do all the time because I'm not going to lie, that would be a felony in Michigan. Well, once again, this Supreme Court ruling, you cannot compel speech. You cannot compel someone to say something that they do not believe. And I have said repeatedly, if Bruce Jenner wants to be called Caitlyn, I'll call him Caitlyn. If he walked into the room, if I was having a conversation with him, I would call him Caitlyn. You know, Johnny Cash had a great song years ago called A Boy Named Sue. You know, I'll roll with that. But what I will not do is call him her. He's a dude. He's a dude who's had surgery. He's a dude who has, you know, totally mutilated his body. But he's a dude. And I will refer to him as he. Because I will not speak a falsehood. You know. But if he wants to be called Caitlin or Rachel or Bob Jones, I'll call him whatever he wants. That doesn't matter to me. But I will speak the truth in regards to his gender. And Michigan has made that a hate crime. So, you know, fine. Come after me. If you're listening to Squirrel Chatter in Michigan, you go ahead and turn me in, please. I would love to have this litigated. That'd be fun. That'd be fun. Yeah. I'm sure I could find plenty of lawyers who would be willing to donate their time to have a test case of this Michigan law. There's several conservative legal organizations who would leap at a chance to defend me. So if you are listening to Squirrel Chatter in Michigan, Dylan Mulvaney's a guy, Bruce Jenner's a guy, Rachel Levine is a guy. So deal with it. There you go. Ellen Page is a girl. And so, yes, please, bring suit in Michigan. I await your call. Operators are standing by. And this is one of the reasons that I'm just against hate crimes in general. Not in this instance. You know, this is a new speech, George Orwell, 1984 stuff. But, I mean, hate crimes in general, where you say, you know, if you know, a man is beat up on the street, and under certain circumstances, they will name it a hate crime, and it will carry a stiffer penalty. I think that's wrong. The crime is beating somebody up on the streets. And anyone who is wrongly beat up on the streets, or murdered, or, you know, if a bad guy shoots somebody on the sidewalk, the crime is murder. The motive doesn't really matter as far as the crime goes. If the murderer shot the man because the murderer is a neo-Nazi and the man is a Jew, that's the motive. If the murderer shot the man because the murderer is a KKK member and the man was black, that's the motive. The crime is still murder. And in neither of those cases is the life taken of more value than if the murderer is a dope addict who shoots a guy for the $1.37 in his pocket to buy drugs. the motive doesn't make the crime more severe. The crime is murder. And so, you know, because the black man's life murdered by the Ku Klux Klan member, the black man's life is not more valuable than the guy who was murdered for his pocket change so that a drug addict could buy drugs. They're both equally valuable. They're both human beings made in the image of God. The crime is murder. The motive may be interesting, but the fact that, you know, I don't like hate crime. It just, you know, because it differentiates it. It tries to make it, you know, the crime is the action. The motive doesn't make the action better or worse. It might make the person, leave that as it is. But so I'm against hate crime laws in general. But this one in Michigan is straight up George Orwellian 1984 newspeak stuff where you just can't misgender someone. Oh, silly stuff. Well, this decision in the Colorado case from the Supreme Court has implications for Michigan's new law. And like I said, if you're in Michigan, bring a lawsuit against me because I would love to go after it. The other one was that the Supreme Court ended affirmative action. This is also a great, great thing. Basically what they're saying is that discriminating against somebody because of their race is wrong. But discriminating for somebody because of their race is also wrong. Racial preferences or, you know, however they go. You know, again, you have a school that's run by the KKK, they can't give preference to white students. If you have a school run by an NAACP member, they can't give preference to black students. This is, you know, I think very, you know, this goes back to Martin Luther King. I have a dream that someday my children are going to grow up in a country where they're judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And that is the promise of the Civil Rights Act. That's the promise of equal protection under the law. That people are not going to be judged by these things. So, you know, great. And this was decided in the case of two colleges, one public, one private. And I think rightly so. So finally, affirmative action, something that I have been against for decades, because it was racist. But finally, affirmative action has been done away with, and so we can get behind that and cheer that on. The interesting thing this week has been watching the left go crazy. I was just watching listening to the news. I don't watch the news. We don't have TV. Don't have cable. Don't have. Can't get broadcast. Live out in the middle of the woods. We have several streaming services, but I don't usually watch the news. I'll watch, you know. We've been watching Remington Steele. Yeah. Prime Video has Remington Steele on from the 80s. Stephanie Zimbalist and Pierce Brosnan. Oh, what a great show. Just fun stuff. So we've been binging that. And those are the kind of shows I enjoy. They were humorous. They were, you know, pretty entertaining as far as the crimes and the how they were solved and the episodes. Not real deep, not earth shaking importance. Fun stuff, and in watching these, I keep thinking that, you know, Pierce Brosnan, I thought, was a good James Bond, and I wished he'd had better writers. And he was actually in the running when Timothy Dalton got the role. And I believe the only reason Pierce Brosnan didn't get the role at the time was Remington Steele and his contractual obligations to the network for Remington Steele. And he would have... I thought he was a good Bond. I wish his... especially his last movie had had a better writing. His last movie was pretty bad, and that was not his fault. That was the fault of the writers and producers. It was just not, you know, and of course that was followed by Daniel Craig's Bond, which had some of the best writing in the series. The movies that Daniel Craig did as Bond are going to be hard to top. I'm curious to see what the next iteration of James Bond is going to be, how that's going to work out. I keep hearing rumors that they're going to go woke. You're dealing with a show about a professional government assassin. That's the job that James Bond has. We all call him a spy. But the double O's were the ones that were tasked to kill people. So he's a government assassin. And, you know, with investigative functions. You can't be politically correct. You just can't be politically correct going after something like that. I think that... quite honestly... the fact that certain international billionaires who are playing politics, there's some real life James Bond villains out there. We've talked about them before. You know, George Soros, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates. There are some guys who are really, they're trying to be Bond villains. They've got world domination on their minds. They've got nefarious actions in their history. There's things they are espousing. There are things that they have done. There are things that they have openly said they want to do, which just makes them Bond villains. And the fact that nobody's taking them out tells me that we don't have a Mitch Rapp or a James Bond tasked with those things. Probably a good thing. You know, government-sponsored assassination, these are the things. I mean, Putin does it. Putin does it. We've had, you know, people assassinated in London by, you know, Russian agents since the fall of the Soviet Union. So, you know, that sort of public assassination, you know, publicly sponsored, government-sponsored secret, I mean, it's secret, they don't want, you know, people to know about it, but people find out. That's the sort of thing of terrorist regimes and dictatorships. And I think it's a good thing that Western democracies are not involved in that. But the fact that certain people are still alive tells us that, you know, James Bond is fiction. Now, Ian Fleming, who wrote James Bond, of course, he had worked in dirty tricks, spy stuff during World War II. And wartime is a little bit different, you know. So a lot of the stuff he was involved a lot of the gadgets that Bond used in the books were real and based upon stuff that they had during World War II. So that is interesting, and there is some basis in truth. You know, Ian Fleming had worked in intelligence during World War II and had been in the dirty tricks department. And so, you know, a lot of what he has in James Bond in the books, you know, was based on reality, but it was based upon a wartime reality, even though it was set during the Cold War of the 60s. It was based upon the wartime reality, and it is not necessarily the way things are done. I think there is a sense in I think the government's up to stuff we don't know about. I certainly do, but most of it's, you know, gathering information. I don't think we have suave men driving around in exotic cars with, you know, semi-automatics under their tuxedo jackets. It just, that's the world of spying is to go unnoticed, not to be the flashy, you know, in-your-face personages that a James Bond would be. If we have anybody going around flashy like that, they are a distraction. They are a misdirection to try to get people to look at something. But, I'm totally off topic there, just to get off on James Bond. But I thought Pierce Brosnan made a good James Bond. Been very much enjoying looking at these old Remington Steels that I haven't seen since high school. fun stuff. Fun stuff. That was one of my mom's favorite shows. I remember I gave mom the DVD of the first season of Remington Steel many years ago, and she enjoyed that. So that was one of the shows that she liked. But it was one I liked as well. But fun stuff, fun stuff. All right. The other thing the Supreme Court did was they torpedoed Biden's student loan forgiveness thing. And there's a lot to say about that. I have talked about the educational system and how I firmly believe that Christians should get their students out of the public schools as rapidly as possible, homeschool them, or get them into a good Christian school. And by good Christian school, I mean a school that actually teaches Christian values in the Bible, not just, you know, one that is Christian in name only, but an actual Christian school that has Christian values permeating through the entire curriculum, or homeschool. Homeschool is probably the best option while we still can. You know, in most of Europe, homeschooling is illegal. And I was actually talking to a friend in Texas who had a family move to Texas from Europe, from Germany, because they wanted to homeschool their kids. So they actually immigrated to the United States. They attend his church in Texas. And they did that because they wanted to homeschool their kids, because they did not want the state teaching their children what the state thought was best. Not a favor of government education. I'm not a favor of, fan of state schools. But the whole thing with the education system is it's entirely overpriced. Much of what is taught in the university system is worthless, yet it costs a great deal. And so you have a lot of people who are coming in, borrowing a lot of money to go to these overpriced schools, getting degrees that are not going to allow them to make the kind of money they need to make to pay off these student loans. And so they're coming out hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt with a degree that's basically worthless. If you go back and you look at the history of colleges and universities, 100 years ago, you had three people who went to college. Doctors went to college. Theologians went to college. And engineers went to college. You didn't have the vast majority of the people seeking university degrees because they weren't needed and they're not needed. The fact that degrees in education are required to teach elementary and high school are ridiculous. And indeed, it's a huge part of the problem. We've got this stranglehold on the public education system, basically instilled by the unions to make money. And the unions are in bed with the universities and the schools of education. I've told this story before. I had originally intended to teach high school history. History is my favorite subject. I love history. I love young people. And I had every intention of teaching high school history. And so I majored in history. And I was taking history classes and working toward a degree in history. And after I'd been in college for a couple of years, it was pointed out to me that you don't major in the subject you want to teach, you major in education. And I thought, well, that's silly. But I'm talking to my advisor and stuff, and she said, no, you can major in history, but you'll have to take these education classes in order to get your teaching certificate. And so I started taking these classes from the School of Education. Now, I was an older student. I was a non-traditional student. After high school, I'd done Air Force and some other things before I went back to school. And so, you know, I was not right out of high school. I had had real world experience. My beliefs had been fairly well cemented. So I wasn't about to get swayed by, you know, liberal talking points. But I started taking these classes from the School of Education, and I was just going to take the minimum classes that I needed to qualify for a teaching certificate. And it was the most empty-headed, fluffy-nutter stuff I'd ever heard. I had taken psychology classes that seemed to be more grounded in reality. And yet, this is the doctrine that guides our education system. That was what really started opening my eyes. And this is, you know, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. Yeah, I guess it'd be 30 years ago. I'm coming up on my 40th. Next year, 1984 is when I graduated from high school. So 2024 is going to be my 40th high school reunion. That just astonishes me. That much time has gone past. It's gone by in a blink. But that's coming up. So, all right. So that's Monday Meandering for today. My voice is starting to give out. I think I've, just anyway, the student loan forgiveness thing. How about we just stop loaning people money to get worthless degrees? If we didn't have a student loan program, schools might actually have to mitigate their costs. And some of the stuff, some of the things that came up, I was reading Twitter, and apparently Elizabeth Warren, she's a senator, yeah, senator. She came out with a tweet, all upset about the student loan thing and how these students are in such debt, blah, 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 blah. And somebody replied to her tweet with, well, Harvard paid you $500,000 to teach one class. You're part of the reason why it's so overpriced. I thought that was a good, you know, and here's the thing, you know, why would a big Ivy League school give a senator $500,000 to teach a class? That ought to raise your eyebrows. This is like a payoff. Who knows for what? So they have an advocate in the Senate. But yeah, that's another thing. There was also a I saw a tweet. I shared this on Twitter. Don't know either of the parties involved, but somebody had launched into, you know, the fact that the Supreme Court had overturned the student loan forgiveness program, saying that the president does not have the authority to do that, which he doesn't. Interestingly, they quoted Nancy Pelosi in the majority opinion because she had said this requires legislation. The president doesn't have the authority to do this. But somebody had gone on Twitter and was talking about how much money they owe on their student loans and you know, come on, President Biden, you got to help us out sort of thing. And somebody had replied, you don't need Joe Biden, you need Dave Ramsey. That one got a chuckle for me. I shared that one on Twitter. So, all right. That's Monday meandering for today. Let us now recite our faith in the word of the Apostle Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the Collect for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. O God, your never-failing providence sets in order all things both in heaven and on earth. Put away from us all hurtful things, and give us those things that are profitable for us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Now the Collect for the renewal of life. O God, the King Eternal, whose light divides the day from the night and turns the shadow of death into the morning, drive far from us all wrong desires, incline our hearts to keep your law, and guide our feet into the way of peace, that having done your will with cheerfulness during the day, we may, when night comes, rejoice to give you thanks, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the Collect for the Unrepentant. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever and ever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for this Monday. Have the best of days. Have a great week in front of you. Most of you are off work today. I think pretty much everybody's off work tomorrow. Stay safe. Enjoy the long weekend if you got one. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.